a world now where the disease of smallpox doesn't cause us a problem. And yet the cynics amongst you will say, but we've kept that smallpox in a military base somewhere. What are we doing? But the target we've got to hit is peace, and yet this word sin, we seem to miss the target all the time. But Jesus, as a doctor, offers a cure for this sin, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to have a reading now, and I think Bob is going to come up, and we're going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, and then we'll sing a song afterwards.
So this morning's reading is from the New International Version. It's page 1003, reading chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot. So as long as they have him with them, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." Here endeth the reading. May God add his blessing to this holy word. Is it Tim Junior or Tim Senior we're handing over to now?
In Christ alone. Yeah.
Thank you.
him. Well, I love the fact that we can come to Jesus as we are, wherever we're at. I know this morning our washing machine is kind of keeps breaking. We keep filling it up, and we haven't got any clothes as a result. And the clothes I was going to put on were all dirty. My children have got colds and snots everywhere. And so finally, Lowy found out this shirt that is kept just for special occasions. So this is a special occasion, and it's good to be here. I know when I came to do this talk, to kind of prepare it, Tim had given kind of a introduction. He told me to do something about healing at the cross, and to look at Mark and Isaiah. And on the morning of preparing, I went to get my hair cut, and I was thinking about this, and I had a cold. And I had myself wrapped up inside all the garments, and I needed to sneeze. And I just couldn't get up outside. I couldn't get outside quick enough. Just snot everywhere.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. And then I walked back up to my house where I was going to write this talk. My family had gone out for the day, and on the way, my neighbour came out, and he's just been diagnosed with cancer. And so we started chatting, and we had a great time. And then he said, "Oh, what are you doing now?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to write a talk on healing at the cross." I couldn't do anything at that point. It was hard. But we have 10 to 15 minutes now to get a grip with the healing that Jesus offers as a doctor. And if you've got a Bible, it's useful to have it open. If not, we'll have a little bit on the screen. But yeah, we're going to just look at the healing that Jesus offers as a doctor. We're going to see that he agrees with many of the doctors in his own time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that the problem with the human race is we're not right with God, we're not in union with God. And he agreed the reason for people not loving God and being right with God was sin. And he agreed with the diagnosis of sin. And that's the first point we're going to look at. The diagnosis that Jesus said is sin as a doctor, and that of being sinners. But secondly, Jesus described a treatment. And this treatment, unlike any other doctor of the time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the treatment that Jesus prescribed was that of himself. He prescribes himself as the treatment. Being with him, following him, and learning from him is the treatment for sin. And lastly, we'll see that Jesus hints that the prognosis, the outcome of sin, like cancer, is an internal thing that destroys us. But unlike cancer, it also causes us to turn on others as well, and on the world itself, and on God. So we're going to see that Jesus, as the doctor called to sinners, which is the ultimate sickness of the human being, we're going to see Jesus agreeing with the diagnosis of sin, we'll see him treating it with himself, and we'll see the prognosis is ultimately death of himself. So Jesus introduced himself as a doctor in verse 17. He says It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And he explains that his calling is primarily for sinners. So in the story before the one we're looking at now, Jesus has already shown he can forgive sins. He can cure sins. He's a great healer, famous. And there's this great story just before of four companions. They've had their friend who was paralyzed, who couldn't walk. And so they picked him up and they took him on their shoulders and they carried him to where Jesus was. And Jesus was probably in a room like this, and it was packed full of people, so packed you couldn't get in at the doors. And so the companions, they got up on top of the roof. And if you can imagine it, they dug through the roof. And as they did so, they lowered their paralyzed friend down into the room where Jesus was. And what did Jesus do? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." "You what?" His friends have just carried him, paralyzed. They want him to be healed, don't they? And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then there's anger in the room because the other doctors, the teachers of the law, they know that the only one who can forgive sin is God. And who is this Jesus claiming to be God, that he can forgive sins? And turning, Jesus in response says to the people and to the man, "Is it harder to say to this man, 'Get up and walk,' or to say, 'Your sins are forgiven'? And so to prove that I've forgiven his sins, get up, take your mat and walk." And the man got up and walked. Jesus can forgive sins. But in verses 13 to 16 that we're looking at now, we see Jesus calling a sinner by the name of Levi, or commonly we name him Matthew now. And he calls this guy, Levi, to follow him and be his disciple. And this disciple means someone who puts into practice what he's taught. And this man, Levi, is going to be one of the 12 men who will eventually lead Jesus' movement. And there's women as well, women disciples as well, but we're not looking at that this morning. But this man, Levi, is a key man. He is one of the guys who's going to lead the church. And yet, he is a sinner. How do we know that? Well, it says Levi was a tax collector. And they were bad news. Tax collectors are a bit like the mafia today. Only worse, because they worked for the army that has invaded your country. And they kill anyone who doesn't do what they say. Tax collectors are treasonous, protected by Roman soldiers, and doing their job as tax collectors for no other reason than greed. They just want money. To become a tax collector, you had to buy a franchise. You had to buy the rights to an area from the Romans to collect the tax, to collect the money that the Romans wanted from the people that they occupied. And any money you collected beyond what the Romans asked for, you got to keep yourself. You could become pretty rich as a tax collector, but only if you're willing to do it in a corrupt way. There were prescribed taxes at the time, a bit like now, income tax or council tax or VAT, that Levi could ask for. But the tax collectors would also invent or use very weird rules, taxes, to get more money out of the people. They might say, "Well, you're living in a house and your house has a roof, so you better pay tax." Or, "Your animal has four legs, so you better pay us some money." And understandably, the people didn't want to pay. So the tax collector would employ some thugs to beat them up until they paid. Can you imagine that? If you didn't pay your tax, someone coming around and beating you up? Perhaps that's true today in many places. But because the tax collectors employed the thugs, they normally ended up running the prostitute rings and the gambling and all the stuff that was involved. And these tax collectors were known as sinners, and they were rejected by everyone. Everyone would reject a tax collector. Their own family would reject them. They were not just sinners, but they worked for the enemy. So it's a bit like one of us working for Nazi Germany during World War II. Tax collectors were hated, absolutely hated. There were people who helped people get to know God at the time. Some genuine. They were called Pharisees and priests and teachers of the law. But these people prescribed rejection of tax collectors as sinners. You just reject them. You couldn't even accept money as a gift from them because it was stolen. And imagine now if somebody who just robbed a bank came in and offered money, would we accept it as a church? And yet here we are seeing Jesus ask Levi to be one of his key leaders. Wow. Levi's reaction is incredible. And if you want to know how to follow Jesus, just observe him. He got up and he followed Jesus. He gave up his job and the money that he had lived for all his life. And he was not downbeat about it either. He was not downbeat by this major life decision. He invited all his friends over. And he had a party in what was presumably his big house as a rich man. And he had a feast so they could meet Jesus. Levi wanted to tell his friends, the other tax collectors, the thugs and the thieves and the prostitutes and the other sinners, why he was leaving that world and following this guy, Jesus. And more than that, he wanted them to meet Jesus for themselves. Jesus says he was a doctor, and the only thing he prescribed to Levi was himself. The only thing he prescribed to Levi, the sinner, was to follow him. Out of Jesus' delight, Levi's sin could be forgiven, and he would go on to be a leader of the early church. I wonder if we write ourselves off from knowing Jesus because we don't live a good life. I wonder if we write ourselves off. A few weeks ago, my wife and I had a date. We went out for the evening, had a wonderful time. But on the way back, we were talking about some of the rubbish in this world. And as we were walking, this guy overheard us. And he said, yeah, this world is effing rubbish. And he just swore. And he said, yeah, this world is just rubbish. And we just turned to him and said, have you met Jesus? And he said, I've heard about him in prison, but I'm a criminal. He doesn't want anything to do with me. And we said, well, have you heard the story of Jesus on the cross? The first person he turned to say, you'll be with me in paradise, was a criminal. And at this point we left, but we saw him just amazed. He was like, wow, this is incredible. And he was just amazed. So we've seen that Jesus agrees with the diagnosis that sin is a big problem. Jesus had a heart for physical healing, and he still does today, and he did them on a big scale. Yet as a doctor, his call was to sinners. He agreed that the diagnosis of the problem is sin. Yet his treatment, unlike the other doctors of the time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, involved himself. He hints in the parable about old wine and new wine and old wineskins and new wineskins, that Jesus had come to offer a new way for God to save people. So Jesus' treatment is himself. But as with all patients, when you receive your pills, when we receive our pills and our treatment, there is one question we long to ask, isn't there? What's going to happen? What's the outcome of this? What's the prognosis? And the answer is only hinted at here in this passage, but it's explained much more later on in the Bible, in this book of Mark. But the answer is hinted at in this story of a bridegroom being taken away. And secondly, the reference to imagery in the prophet Isaiah. So if you read this story about fasting and a bridegroom saying that we don't need to fast because when the bridegroom's there, we feast, don't we? One of the common treatments of the day for sin was to fast, to go without, in order that we might be close to God and somehow be close to him. And Jesus is accused of not prescribing this treatment because none of his disciples, unlike everyone else, fast. And rather than saying anything about fasting, Jesus simply says, when you're with the bridegroom, you feast. You have an amazing time, just like the feast we've seen with Levi and his house. And you have an amazing time when you're with the bridegroom. And this is a big thing to say because in the Old Testament, when you use the word groom, it's God. God talks about being a husband who loves and cares for his wife, his people. And here is Jesus saying he's the bridegroom. That's pretty radical. But then he then says that when you're with him, when you're with the bridegroom, when you're with God, you feast, you have an amazing time. But he then hints that the bridegroom will be taken away and then people will fast. And we know that Jesus was taken away. You can read about it later on, that Jesus was taken by soldiers. He was beaten. He was made to wear a crown of thorns and put on purple rags as mockery. And he went on the cross and he died for us. He hints at the prognosis. But references to imagery of a bridegroom and of wine in a new way would hint at prophecy in Isaiah. And probably like most of us today, someone who reads this book has probably not read Isaiah. But at the very beginning of this book, Mark, in chapter 1, it says, a quote, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths to him, written from the prophet Isaiah. And perhaps as you read the story, you might think, well, who is this Isaiah? And you might go and read it. But if you read from that quote from chapter 40 onwards, John says that he is the one preparing the way for the Lord. But from chapter 40 onwards in Isaiah, God starts saying that he's going to save his people. He's going to redeem them from slavery, just like he used to do in the exile when the people were brought out of Egypt and freed. But he's going to do it in a new way. Think different from that. In fact, forget the way I used to save people, said God. I'm going to do something new. And he says, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it before it happens. And if you carry on reading Isaiah, you get to chapter 53. And he read these words written hundreds of years before Jesus say, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him smitten by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Part of the treatment of being with Jesus is that the prognosis is death. But Jesus takes that death upon himself. In exchange for his own life, Jesus offers eternal peace. That vision of peace that we long for, he offers. So I don't know where you feel are. I don't know where you feel you are this morning in this story. Perhaps you're one of the teachers of the law or the Pharisees, and you know how to do things right, how to get things right with God. Or perhaps you're a Levi. You just want to follow Jesus and you're not concerned about the cost. Or maybe you're one of Levi's friends and you're just amazed at this party as you meet Jesus for the first time. So we're going to sing a song now. But as we do that, we've looked this morning as Jesus as a healer, and he wants to respond to us, and he wants us to respond to him. So perhaps as we sing now, just respond to him in your own hearts. And if you do so, I think there's prayer afterwards and chat to someone else afterwards. But respond to him in your own hearts now. We're going to sing Everyone Needs Compassion. I'll just read out the verse that Jesus said. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners.